And this is the sixth sermon on this little section that we have been looking at. You remember the last time, at the end of last month, we looked at this accusation that Satan had made in verse 9. Satan answered the Lord, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" And so this morning, we want to look at the verse 10. Only verse 10 this morning is our text. And I want to look at it under just two simple headings, if I may. And the first one, which will deal with the first section of verse 10, is the protective hedge. Simple title, the protective hedge. And the second part, and the second point this morning, will be sometimes the father of lies speaks truth. Sometimes the father of lies speaks truth. So that's our two points that we will have this morning. In the verse 10 is our text, and I just want to read it again. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? And that will be our first point, the protective hedge. And then our second point, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Sometimes the father of lies speaks truth. Our text in verse 10 and this morning is the main substance of Satan's accusations. And we will consider that first part then. We will consider the first part, the protective hedge. The word hedge denotes something that protects and guards. It means a fence or an enclosing barrier. That's literally what it means. A farmer might plant a hedge around his field, and I'm sure there's maybe plenty of country folk here, and I'm sure we have seen miles and miles of hedgerows crisscrossing the countryside, planted to mark out the boundary of perhaps private property or the farmer's field in which he wants to protect and secure his livestock or his crops. And this particular idea of a protection is what Satan takes up in the verse 10 when he says that thou hast made an hedge about him. Not a literal hedge, not a physical hedge where we plant a hedge, but the idea is of a supernatural hedge, a protection that's unseen. A hedge that, this is what Satan speaks of. Something that protected all inside and prevented malicious intent from the outside. God's people in this world dwell in the midst of enemies. Sure, we all know that, both human and demonic. But Almighty God himself undertakes the guarding and the protection of his people. And from time to time will allow trouble. And I'm sure we've all experienced trouble of some shape or form in our lives. God will from time to time allow trouble and affliction to come for the purpose of chastening and for the purpose of testing in line with his own will and purpose. God allows these things to happen to us. Many will have experienced that. But ultimately they are for our good. Such was the case with Job and his household and all that he had. Now Job, as the Bible speaks of this individual, this man and his household and his family, but God also talks about a bigger picture when he speaks of the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel was the beneficiary of the same kind of protection on a bigger scale than what Job experienced. That's what Job experienced. And when the nation of Israel was established in the promised land, the nation was likened onto a vineyard. You know what a vineyard is? A vineyard is where vines are planted and the grapes then are grown and picked. That's a vineyard. And the nation of Israel was likened on to a vineyard that the Lord had planted. And this vineyard of Israel was not to be left exposed so that anyone could come at will and just simply plunder it. No. It was protected. The vineyard of the Lord was protected. And I want to read just from Mark. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. I want to read from Mark chapter 12. And it's just a parable that the Lord Jesus gives with regard to this vineyard. Luke chapter 12. And I'm just going to read verse 1. This is the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking to the Pharisees, the rulers of the people in Israel. And this is the parable. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and looked carefully, and set a hedge about it. See that? A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. Now that's the bones of the parable. That is the essence of the parable that the Lord Jesus is teaching these Pharisees. What is he saying in this parable? A certain man, God the Father, planted a vineyard, the nation of Israel, set a hedge about it, an enclosing barrier, divine protection, and digged the wine fat, that the fruit and worship and obedience of the nation would be gathered in and given to God. And built a tower. The city of Jerusalem is a city set on a hill. And let it out to husbandmen, the rulers of the people, and in particular, the Levitical priests to oversee the worship and obedience to God's word. And went into a far country. Watched over the nation from heaven. That's what the parable is teaching. Simple. A clear, descriptive picture in parable form of God's gracious provision for the nation. But the vineyard of Israel, for the most part, did not produce good grapes. The parable in Mark chapter 12 that we have just read draws heavily from the poetic illustrations from Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 to 7, where God speaks to the nation through the prophet Isaiah as the vineyard of the Lord producing wild grapes. Wild grapes is the only Isaiah chapter 5 is the only place in the Old Testament where it is mentioned, where wild grapes is mentioned. What does wild grapes mean? This is speaking about the nation of Israel, that they were producing wild grapes. Wild grapes means poisonous berries. Corrupt and rotten fruit. That's what it means. God was speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, saying that the nation were producing wild grapes, poisonous berries, corrupt and rotten grapes. The Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 12, in that parable that we had just read, is teaching the exact same thing. A terrible picture of the nation of Israel as being rebellious and disobedient. Wild grapes, producing wild grapes. But what a contrast we find What a contrast we find in the life of this godly man, Job. What a contrast to the nation of Israel. The life of Job was as a fruitful vine, with dedicated and consistent service to God. A life ordered by those very characteristics of which Almighty God spoke of Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Escheweth simply means that he abhorred evil. He detested evil. He avoided evil. And what about fruit bearing in our lives then? And that's an important question to ask at this point. What about fruit bearing in our own lives? The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Colossae, in chapter 1 and the verse 10, this is what he says: that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we? Are we? That is an important question to us. Are we fruit bearing? Are we increasing? Are we being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God? Incidentally, the Lord Jesus, when he was talking about the vine to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 12 and verse 1, that little parable that he had taught them, and drawing heavily from those references in Isaiah chapter 5. It is easy to understand them when the Lord himself says in John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Not producing wild grapes, not rotten berries, but I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Not Israel, but the Israel, the true Israel, the Son of God, the Christ of God, as a true Israel, a picture of the true Israel, producing fruit to God. That's important. But what about our own particular individual lives? Are we fruit bearing? Are we? We need to be, as Christian people. So returning to our text, this statement in the verse 10 that forms the substance of Satan's accusation. Satan is describing God's provision and protection of Job by saying, Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Now there are two brief points to note here at this juncture. Firstly, that Almighty God had indeed established a supernatural barrier, a kind of perimeter fence, if you like, around Job and his house and all that he had. God had indeed established that. But notice also in this verse what Satan adds in this statement, in this first part of the statement. He says, on every side. It just wasn't a barrier at the front. It was a barrier on every side. And this is significant because it shows that Satan had sought to find a weakness that he might exploit, but found none. Found none. And secondly, that this hedge or barrier, this enclosing barrier, was a vexation to the mind of Satan. A vexation of mind, in that it prevented him from malicious intent to destroy Job. Psalm 34 and verse 7 tells us, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And that was the supernatural barrier. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And such was the case with Job. Satan knew all about Job as he probed here and there round the divinely ordered hedge. And it was certain, it was absolutely certain, if he had permission to act at will, he would have destroyed Job in an instant. That applies to you and me. Because God has ordered a protective barrier around you and I, and if Satan was allowed to act at will, he would destroy every one of us in an instant. Now that divine protection is provided for all God's people. And the knowledge that we have of that, and the constraints that are placed upon Satan that he cannot just do as he wills, should give us great encouragement today that all God's people who love and obey his word, whose lives are consistent and regulated by holy living and godly fear, will experience the blessing and protection of God. And that is something this morning that we have to be very, very grateful for. So that's my first point, God's protective hedge. Our second point, from the verse 10, and we'll read it again, we'll read the whole verse. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? And then our second point is taken from this section. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And our second point is, sometimes the father of lies speaks the truth. The father of lies. That's what the Lord Jesus referred to him in John chapter 8 and verse 44. That Satan was indeed a liar and the father of it. Father of lies. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And I just want to consider for a few moments this last section of the verse 10 and this part of Satan's accusation. It is sometimes true that the devil, the father of lies, speaks the truth. We will call it this morning, we will call it diabolical pragmatism. That's what it is, diabolical pragmatism. A means to an end. That's exactly what it is. A means to an end to advance his own ambition. It was certainly a great truth. A great truth that God had blessed the work of Job's hands. That his substance, his livestock had spread throughout the land. It was a great truth. And it was certainly that was the case and was increased in the land. And within the security of this hedge round about Job, his household, and all that he had, there persisted a divine blessing on the works of his hands. Now, I don't want you to miss that, please. Please don't miss that. On the works of his hands. Don't miss the significance of this particular phrase. Because blessing is promised in several portions of Scripture. And I just want to look at them briefly. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and the verse 29. And this is important if we can grasp this, please. Deuteronomy 14 verse 29. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. Now listen carefully. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. See that? And all the work of thine hand which thou doest. And we just look over to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. I'm just going to read three portions. And there are many more, but I'm just going to read three portions. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 15. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. The works of thine hands. And just finally, I want to look at Deuteronomy 24, please, and the verse 19. Deuteronomy 24 and the verse 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Again, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Now this is significant. And it is an important lesson for us today. The Lord gives no promise of blessing to sloth and laziness. The farmer will have no harvest if he sows no seed. The spiritual application of this is most important. Most important. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And this is what he says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Lord will not bless sloth, carelessness, or disobedience in spiritual duties. He won't. He won't bless them. And we had said when Satan speaks truth, it means that he is being pragmatic. He adapts himself to any given situation so that he may exploit it. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, we see Satan's subtlety. This very same evil, wicked spiritual being. We see Satan's subtlety presenting himself as a counselor and an instructor to Eve, but deceiving her into thinking that she is getting useful and important information. Useful and important information that would be of benefit to her and to her husband Adam. Deceived. And it was Satan's real intention, of course, to bring about their ruin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul speaks of false apostles and deceitful workers. And he says in the verse 14, and no marvel. There's no marvel about this. No marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Changed. Adapting himself to particular situations. And in this case, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse 13 and 14, in this case it is an attempt to pervert the gospel and to bring ruin to the Christian church, the fledgling Christian church. In our text, in Job chapter 1 and verse 10, we see him adapting himself to this particular situation. He doesn't tell lies as he did to Eve. He doesn't use deceit as he did with the church at Corinth. But he speaks the truth. Why? Because he's speaking to Almighty God. He can't tell lies. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And that was absolutely true. Satan speaks the truth, but his desired outcome is the ruin and death of Job. And that is Satan's desire and intention, especially for all of God's people. But dear friends, this morning, God is sovereign. God is sovereign, and Satan is only a part of the ultimate fulfillment of God's purposes and decrees. Satan is only a part. Yes, he's evil. Yes, he has intentions to destroy. But he is only a part of God's overall plan. So in conclusion this morning, what have we learned and how ought we to apply that learning? 4 points. Firstly, remember the promise of divine protection. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Christian people have this protection and fellowship with God. We have our prayers answered, as we said earlier, not in an audible way, not verbally as some of the charismatics would believe. We don't have our prayers answered audibly or verbally today. Well, we are spoken to through the Word of God and in circumstances and in providence. That's how God answers our prayers today. Secondly, God's people dwell in the midst of enemies. But as we travel homeward to the celestial city, we are confident to know that the hedge, the divinely ordered hedge, the enclosing barrier, the perimeter fence, if you like, is about us on every side. On every side. And that's important. It's not at our front or our back, it's all around. It's on every side. Thirdly, and perhaps one of the most important points from this morning, is the works of our hands. And listen carefully, please. The works of our hands. The works of our hands is an important principle in both physical and in spiritual duties. Effort in working is our part. But prospering that effort is God's work. Effort in working is our part, but prospering that effort is God's work. And that's important. And finally, number 4. Satan will adapt various tactics and to advance his own desires. He was a lying counselor to Eve. He was a deceiver through the false teachers to the Corinthian church. And he even spoke truth about Job. But it is always to bring about his own evil intentions. Let us be watchful today. We often quote it from what the Apostle Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. Be watchful. And again, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay, amen. And I hope that has been of some help to you this morning. God bless.